Father, we come today to study a new series, the words of which are very familiar. So we pray that you will reveal new meaning, new truth, that will help us to come closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The new series that we're starting today at this service is called The Pearl of Psalms. And the pearl of the Psalms is Psalm 23. It's a gem. Have you ever thought of a pearl as being a gem? The dictionary tells me it's a gem because it's made out of something called a nacre or nacre. I don't think we get the word knackered from it, but it's certainly found in oysters. The mother of pearl is the best pearl of the lot. So today we're going to start our series on the mother of pearl of the Psalms, Psalm 23. And I have the job of setting the series off and only being allowed to talk about one verse, which is quite a challenge, chaps, it really is. There's not a lot you can say about a few words, but there's an awful lot to discover, I discovered. The history of the Psalms is a study in itself, and if you're interested in how the Psalms were gathered and who wrote them, there are countless books and pamphlets that have been written. Suffice to say that they were put together in the 3rd century BC, probably by scholars in the post-exilic period. The Psalms are essentially a book of prayers and praise which speak to God and of God. They are also a book of the profession of faith and of trust. They're not specifically doctrinal or systematic, because they're a collection of many different kinds of thought and expressions. And the theology, therefore, is personal, though always acknowledging the centrality of Yahweh, or God. And so to Psalm 23, written by David after he became king. The figure of a shepherd in those far-off days was as common and well-known as a pop star or professional footballer. Everyone knew what a shepherd did and understood the deeper insights of shepherding. Kings were often referred to as shepherds or shepherd-like. David had spent a large part of his early life as a real live shepherd. So here was a man who had actually done the job and was now doing the job of king, a different sort of shepherd, chosen and anointed by a mighty God who was often referred to as a king himself. Shepherds in the main look after sheep. Certainly in the Middle East of the time, when sheep were by far the greatest and largest group of livestock. Sheep are animals with an acute sense of the herd instinct. Hence, they will follow. They will follow the strong character, or the rogue sheep, which is why they all need shepherds, someone who will guide them towards food and pasture, water, safety, particularly at night. In general, sheep are totally dependent on the shepherd for survival. And it's a well-proven fact that sheep know the sound of their shepherd's voice, which sometimes makes me wonder whether the dogs have got anything to do. Because if the shepherd says, come by, do you think the sheep know what he means? The dog certainly does. But I think the sheep also recognize the shepherd's voice. So this is a lovely picture for us. We like to be guided. We like to follow if we think we're going in the right direction. If we trust the person that's in charge, it's quite a good experience. So it's little wonder that David was to some extent an expert on the ways of shepherding and understood completely what was involved in the shepherd-sheep relationship. But wise enough to recognize that in this instance, and no doubt others, he was in the role of a sheep, with Yahweh as the shepherd above all shepherds. So let's listen to verse 1 from 4 different translations. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. King James. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. NIV UK. You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. Common English Version. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. The Message. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You, Lord, are my shepherd, I will never be in need. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. There are 2 parts to that verse. First of all, the declaration, the Lord is my shepherd. And secondly, a statement of consequence. I shall not want. I will never be in need. Well, job done this morning. What more needs saying? Almost the most comforting words in the Bible. And indeed, the rest of the psalm follows in that same loving pastoral strain. But I think we should pause and reflect on that declaration. The Lord is my shepherd, my king, my guide, my protector, my provider, my everything, my saviour. Now there's a link. As Christians, we have an enlarged shepherd, not just God, but the Good Shepherd Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit shepherd, the comforter. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd, we are referring not just to God, but to the entire lineage of David, from Abraham to Melchizedek the priest, to David and to Jesus. Hebrews 6 and 7 will explain it to you and include you as well in the royal priesthood. And then to the Comforter, that gift that my Father will give you when you have waited for it in Jerusalem, said Jesus. So our shepherd is enormous. Our shepherd applies in all sorts and conditions. How often has God the Trinity been to the rescue? For you, for me. In those times when all seemed black or impossible, when all was chaos and darkness, when we were looking into the abyss with nowhere to go. It is at those moments when we realize that the Lord is my shepherd. For me, it was in times of economic failure or illness or death that I needed to declare those words, and not just those words, but the statement of consequence as well. Therefore, because he is my Lord and shepherd, I lack nothing. Because he is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Even though I felt bereft, I don't need a thing, even though I thought I needed a lot. If God is my shepherd, then I have no fundamental anxiety, because I will never be in need. I will lack nothing. The statement is not about what we need, but about what we might be short of or lack. It's not a wish list. It is a list of bare survival essentials. God will not allow us to perish. And this is where our trust is really examined. In this materialistic world, we struggle to know how God will provide all those things that we think we need or want, because there's so much of it. The truth is that there's very little, and we can certainly all survive on a lot less if we had to. So it's not about need. It is about the fact that we will lack nothing, nothing essential. The Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. This is a colossal statement of faith and will certainly be absolutely true if we absolutely trust in him. And that is the key. We're not just saying that statement, we're not making that statement. We're believing it, we're breathing it, we're living it. I could certainly testify to the fact that this is a truth that I personally have proved beyond doubt, and would assure everyone and anyone of its absoluteness under all circumstances. Today is my wedding anniversary, a day that some might say is difficult and possibly sad. No, it's not. It's a day of thankfulness because of this verse. A day of encouragement because of this verse. A day of certainty because of this verse. So if you too believe the Lord is your shepherd, you will lack nothing. And if you do believe that, as I do, we are among the most blessed people in the world, because nothing else matters. And you know, and I know, and believe this marvelous truth. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I lack nothing. Amen.